And good evening, everybody. This is Ryan, and we are coming to you live on, or live by a recording, with Paw Print Academy. I am your host, Ryan, and this tonight I am here with Brianna.
Hello.
And we're super excited to bring you our second episode of Paw Print Academy. So this is what we're excited about, right? Is that this is a dog training podcast recorded live in one take and with live clients on the line. And the goal is to walk away with opportunities to kind of assimilate new ideas and learn in real time. Today will be episode number 2. And it's entitled Marker Words, Building a Shared Language with Your Dog. So I'm super excited about tonight. Marker words are incredibly important to what we do as dog trainers, but also when we're talking about building clear communication with our dogs, right? So tonight, the core idea of tonight's episode revolves around how marker words create clarity. Now, dogs don't speak English, and we've said this over and over, and I think everyone understands that they don't speak English, but I think it's often misunderstood because dogs do respond to a lot of sounds and inflections.
Yeah.
So when we may say, hey, get off the couch, and that dog might get off the couch because it is shocked by your tone, or you walk towards it and you're taking its space away, or it maybe it smelled something that it actually wanted to do or experience more than they wanted to be on the couch.
Yeah.
And we see that, we look at it and we're like, that is a smart dog. He knew exactly what I was saying. And so sometimes our communication is not as clear as we think it is. And so that's kind of what we're going to talk about tonight. So when used correctly, marker words, they become a bridge between human intention and dog behavior. And I think that's really important and cannot be really understated. Marker words give us the ability to start to be more clear, right? To get crystal clear in the dog's mind. Rather than just, yeah, I think he's getting it. Yeah, he responds as soon as I pull those treats out. When we use marker words, we can start to really understand whether the dog is fully getting it and they're showing signs of anticipating what's about to happen or not. And so this episode is going to have kind of two tones to it. One, talking to or talking as dog trainers and talking to dog trainers, but there's no part of me that is going to, you know, forgets that we have also our clients on the line that we're talking to in a way that it makes sense in the home, right? When you're just working with your pet dog. So we're going to talk about it in kind of two different ways here tonight. All right. So first point is like, why? So what is a marker word and why does it work? All right. So I'll cover that and then I'm going to pass the mic over to Brianna and we'll fill in some gaps. So one, what is a marker word? A marker word is a opportunity to use a short word to mark a moment in time when you want the dog to understand that what they just did, the behavior that they just did, was either good and you want them to repeat it, or it was bad and you don't want them to repeat it.
Right. It's like subtitles.
Like, explain.
Right. If you don't have marker words and you're like watching a film that's not in your language, if you didn't have subtitles, like you would have no idea. It's just noise.
Yeah. Okay. All right. I like that.
Right.
Right. Keying you in on the concept of what's going on. Mm-hmm. Okay. I love that. Okay. Why do they work? So when you, this is the little 2-minute explanation. When we look at the science behind dog training, we have, so there's there are plenty of rabbit holes that we can go down here. So I'm going to really try to steer the conversation to the overall concepts, because what I don't want to do is get super sciencey and then just go down one rabbit hole of one study and not cite this other study that maybe disagreed, or there's a lot of different things out there with dog training. There are 100 different ways to go, and there's lots of ways that work. But tonight we're going to talk about the markers, and so I'm going to keep the subject on that. The science that we're using here is speaks about how the dog's attention works. And so when you tell your dog to do something and then you reward them after, that concept has to happen, that whole process has to happen pretty fast. Supposedly, your dog has about 1 to 1.5 seconds between when they did a behavior and you either rewarding it or correcting it. So that dog has about a second that they can either see that, hey, this was good, you wanted me to repeat this, or, oh, that was bad, you don't want me to do that again.
Yeah.
And so a second is not a lot of time for you to reach into a treat pouch and then produce some sort of food reward. A second is not a lot of time for you to walk across the room and pet your dog and give them praise and like, oh, wow, you're such a good boy. A second is not enough time for you to even reach for a ball and throw it all in 1 second. Mm-hmm. And so that's where marking comes in. We can use a word, which the word is not important. It could be anything. But the way that we say it is the same, and the sound is the same to the dog. So when the dog does something good, we mark it with, yeah, and that is the excitement that the dog picks up on. It's like, okay, that was good. I should do this again. Or the reverse is true, right? And typically we use a marker like no, and it was like, no, don't do that again. From the time that we mark the behavior, we have until the dog stops paying attention to actually reinforce that marker. So there's like three things happening. One, dog produces a behavior. Number two, we mark that behavior as either good or bad. Mm-hmm. And then the third thing is we reinforce that marker with either a reward, that could be multiple different things, could be a ball, could be praise, could be a treat, or we deliver a correction, which could be as simple as walking towards the dog and using spatial pressure to make the dog go back onto their place.
Yeah.
Right? All right. So that is what a marker is, and that is what the concept that we're going to be talking about. So that is the reason why markers work, because it makes it very simple for the dog. So dogs learn fastest when feedback, us telling the dog, hey, good job, you did the right thing, or hey, that was not a good job, you did not do the right thing. Dogs learn fastest when the feedback is immediate and consistent. This has been proven over and over. And it doesn't matter what side of the fence you're on positive training, on Lima type training, or fair and balanced training. It doesn't matter where you end up. We pretty much agree across the board that consistency, fairness, and quickness with your feedback all lead to a faster trained dog.
Yeah, it's clearer communication for them.
Right. Absolutely. Okay, so marker words act as a timestamp for the behavior. So the dog sits, and right as the dog's butt sits down on the ground, it contacts the ground, that's where we mark that behavior so that the dog is super clear. They're like, oh, when my butt hits the ground, that's when I did the right thing.
Yeah.
Because what you don't want is a dog, maybe a dog lays down, but they go into that like play bow, and then they shake their head, and then they finally lay down. Mm-hmm. If you just give them a treat without marking the actual moment that they did the right thing, there's a high likelihood they could attribute their positive reinforcement to any one of those behaviors.
Yeah, they have no idea which one they're getting a treat for if you don't tell them.
Right, 100%. And so that's the value in that marker word. It allows us to, just like using a clicker, we click at the moment the dog has done the right thing.
Yep.
That way, the dog learns faster. Mm-hmm. Super, super important. So they reduce confusion by separating the reward from the action also.
Yeah.
Because the dog sits and then we start to move towards them with a reward and we don't say anything and the dog gets super excited because here comes the food. Oh my gosh. And then they get up and they're all crazy.
Mm-hmm.
What we lose out on that with that is that the dog could have, you know, reinforced multiple different variables all at the same time.
Yeah.
And what we want to do is we want to really single out that exact motion that we did want. So that's why we use a marker. Without markers, without markers, owners often deliver rewards, you know, either late or sometimes teaching or reinforcing the wrong behavior.
Right. I've seen that one a lot.
Can you give an example in just a second?
Yeah.
The last point here, and then we'll go into questions. Consistency in the tone also matters, right? So it's more than the volume. It's the tone in your voice. So it's not just that you said yes instead of yes, but it's how you used inflection and how you use tone in your voice that dogs pick up on most. Mm-hmm. All right. Last one, markers are universal. That's the other supporting point, right? Markers are universal across environments, and it really builds reliability. All right, Brianna, I would love for you to share what you're talking about.
So with teaching the wrong behaviors and rewarding at the wrong time, a lot of people you'll see do this with barking. That's a really big one is, when you're timing rewarding a dog for not barking at something, it is one of the most like critical timings, I feel like, because when a dog is barking and you are putting the food in front of them, you are rewarding them for barking. They are stopping barking to eat that treat, but you're in the long term, you're rewarding that barking. Whereas when you are having a dog where you can time it correctly to mark the quiet and reward for that, even in those moments when you don't feel like rewarding your dog because they're barking. Those are the most important time factors when rewarding the dog for correcting a behavior.
Yeah, that's a really good point. And barking is one of the more difficult ones to figure out because there's like a whole bunch of reasons why a dog barks.
Yeah.
Okay, so I had written down three questions, right? You already answered kind of one. But the first one was, can you share a story where adding marker words immediately sped up a dog's progress? And so in my mind, one of the things that comes to mind is when, so there was a dog that I had trained in a previous company, and when originally we were rewarding the dog with food for doing, you know, their different actions. And we kept hitting a wall that the dog was not fully understanding, right? The not jumping up was like this really big issue. And I believed that we were kind of miscommunicating to this dog, that they were jumping up and then they were getting down on the ground. They were putting all four paws on the ground and then we were rewarding the dog. Mm-hmm. I really felt that we were just not communicating clearly enough to the dog and kind of showing the dog like, yeah, you jump up and then as soon as you come off of the person, then I hand you a treat. Mm-hmm. So the dog got, yeah, cool. When I jump up, like I get treats. Mm-hmm. Well, as soon as we started incorporating markers, right, into the moment the dog made that decision to get off of the person, we made a lot of progress.
Yeah.
And so that was what came to my mind. You have one?
Yeah, I think I've had a few experiences with anxious dogs where they will pace around and the moment they lay down, I mark and reward that. And I do it in a calm manner with a slightly different tone because you don't want
that's
to
a really good one.
Incite them to come back on. But that is one that's really important when you're trying to just kind of, it's like a mixture of like, it's like free shaping, right? So you just wait for them to do the behavior and you're not really like forcing them to or telling them to, but you're just encouraging them to do that behavior.
Yeah.
And then marking it as soon as you see it.
Well, so how do you explain to new clients like the difference between praise and marker words?
So praise is going to be more of like an excitable like tone for me. Praise is just, it's telling them good boy, good girl, good job, you know, yeah, all these things, where a marker word is just that word, the same, consistent every time. You can change your tone with praise and say all sorts of things and go into, you know, all sorts of nicknames for the dog and things like that, and that can be praise. But when you're sticking to a marker word, it's yes, free, no. It's all of those, all in the same fashion every time.
Yeah. So I do kind of the same thing. Like I use a whole bunch of words when I'm praising because I don't necessarily want, so I market the same word every time, right? We use yes and free, and we're going to talk about that in a minute. But so I might market with free and then go into, oh my goodness, you're just a good boy. And that are, those are two very separate events. Mm-hmm. One is the mark, and then that praise can actually be the reward, but it's not the marking of the behavior.
Yeah,
it's the reward. Mm-hmm. Right, just like we talked about before, there's three parts, right? You have the behavior and you have the mark, that is that moment in time that you're telling the dog, yes, that is what I wanted you to do. And then you have that reinforcement. And the reinforcement is that praise. If you're not giving a food reward and you're not giving like a freedom reward or what's another one? My mind is blanking out. Another way you reward dogs. Food, praise.
Toys.
There we go. That was the other one that was in the back of my head. I just couldn't get it out. If you're not producing one of those things, you can always fall back on just praise. But the praise is not the marking part. It's the actual reinforcement.
Yeah.
All right. Last question for this section. Have you seen situations where inconsistent markers actually set a dog back?
Yeah, I think we see that kind of all the time, to be honest with you. You know, it's like people either use too many of them and they're just like spitting them all over the place. And it's like, yes, 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 yes. And the dog is like, that has no value now because you're not like, you're not rewarding every time. Right. Mm-hmm. Of course, yeah. If you're rapid firing yeses at dogs and if you're throwing a whole bunch of no's at them, or one thing is people use different versions of no a lot of the time. They're like, no, or they're like, stop. Don't do that. Quit. Cut it out. There's all sorts of ways to say no. And people in the moment, or even using them in more of an emotional way than not, can always set a dog back.
Yeah.
It's just, it's so much confusion and so much white noise.
Right, because it's inconsistent, yeah. Right? And the dog doesn't speak English no matter what, like that couch thing right off the bat.
Yeah.
That just because your dog did what you asked them to do did not mean that they understood those words.
Yeah.
And some dogs do. This isn't 100%. Some dogs do understand the concept, right? But I guarantee that they're not understanding every word in grammatical sense, right? They're yeah. just understanding the general concept. They're like, cool, yeah, get off the couch. I got it. Mm-hmm. Anyway. All right. Next main point. Three essential markers. So as we get into this, we're going to talk about, this is what we use in our company. So for our clients that are tuned in or downloading this later, listening to it, we use three main markers. All right. So we use yes, we use free, and we use no. You can use apple, carpet, bubble. It doesn't matter what the words are. And this is kind of universal. There's a lot of dog trainers that use a little bit different, verbiage, and I'll get into why we do what we do here. But one, I think it's really, really important. Well, let's just knock this out right off the bat. I think it's really important not to lie to your dog. And so because of that, we will eventually, we'll start with just reward markers. Markers that get a immediate reward, whether that is food, a toy, or praise, or freedom. Second from that, later down the road, we'll introduce two additional markers that mean basically the same things, but they're not reward markers, all right? And we'll talk about that in a minute. So off the bat, the three markers that we start every dog with is yes, free, and no. Yes means the dog is correct and should continue the behavior that they're already doing. Free means that their dog is released and that's the end of the exercise. Both of those markers are followed with a reward, either a toy, food, praise, or freedom.
Yeah.
And then the third marker is no, which just signals a mistake and helps the dog reset. So dog goes to their place and we have them down. This isn't the very first thing that we do, right? But when the dog goes to their place, we tell them lay down on their place. We give them a yes, because that's a continuation, right? That is, hey, good job. Here's a reward. We follow that yes with a treat. And that yes means good job. Here's your treat. You got a treat. That's great job, but I want you to keep doing it.
Yeah.
And they stay in that place until such time as then you say free. At free, they're going to break that place command and they're going to approach you to get a treat or to get praise or freedom or a toy.
Yep.
So, and then the last one is no, right? So dog lays down in their place. You say yes, you give them a treat. You're doing whatever distracting events that you do while you're trying to work with them. And then suddenly they break the command and they get up. I'm going to say no, but I'm not going to say it like, no, I'm going to just say it just like a marker, right? It's just a moment in time where the dog has done something that you did not want. That's it. It's not the end of the world. It's not a big deal. It's just no. And then I'm going to follow that with a correction. In this case, I'm going to approach the dog and use spatial pressure for them to decide, oh, oops, back up. Let me lay back down on my place.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So those are our three main markers. Yes, free, and no. Eventually, down the road, we incorporate two additional markers. And we use good and we use break. Good means the same as yes, except it does not predict a reward. Mm-hmm. Break means the same as free, but does not predict a reward.
Yep.
I think that those are really important to have those and to expand your vocabulary. Just two words. It's just two extra words. But eventually every single client asks us, well, when do I not need to carry treats around? Mm-hmm. When do I get to fade out the treats? And inevitably, the answer to that, and Robert Cabral says this is a good way to answer it, is that if you're asking that question, you're probably not there yet.
Yeah.
However, an easier answer to that is, I'm never going to fade out the treats for yes and free. I'm always, always, always going to treat for yes and free. So that all the work that I did up front to charge, as this is a dog trainer word, right? To charge those markers, I did all this work in order to really like bolster up the meaning behind these markers. I don't want them to lose meaning. I don't want them to lose their edge. So I'm going to just incorporate an additional marker that means the same thing, but the dog's not looking for the treat.
Yeah.
And that is how we don't lie to our dogs. Mm-hmm. We bring the dogs consistency and clear communication through every phase of their training. Yeah. All right. So I kind of like shot through these other points, but owners often misuse no by pairing it with anger instead of clarity. So that is what I was talking about when we were like, oh no, don't do that. Don't get on the couch. No. We need to use no as a consistent communication device. Mm-hmm. So just no, and then that's it. And then follow it with action. Just like yes, and then we follow it with a reward. We have to start using those things, and that clearly communicates to our dog. Overusing yes. You talked about this a little bit earlier, right? And yeah. So you kind of you stole my thunder a little bit here.
Oops.
So you talked about diluting the yes.
Yeah.
Now is the time to expand on that.
Right. So I think when it comes down to it, we auto go to that once we start working with our dogs. And diluting the yes simply means that dog keeps hearing that word and you keep not giving that dog a reward. That's as simple as it can get, is you say it and you don't stick behind what you're telling your dog, which means yes gets a reward every time. And it doesn't have to be yes for you. And you don't even have to follow these rules, right? Because they're not rules. They're just suggestions in the long term. But in order to build the clear communication and being able to have a non-treatable marker word is what we always fall back on. It's like, you don't have to say yes. Just say good, good, good job, good, good girl, right. Good boy.
Yes.
Good heavens. Like, you can say whatever you want. Right. Just don't say yes in that moment unless you're willing to back it up with something. And that doesn't mean you have to have something on your person. It's like you're out back. You walk inside immediately, grab a ball, you know, give them a treat. We have a
right.
Because you have until you.
Okay, good. Hit that real quick.
Right. We keep a bowl, a little Tupperware thing of dog food on the counter at all times. Because no matter what, like, you can go from any room in the house to the kitchen really quick, grab a piece of food, and and give it if you accidentally said yes for something yes. that was
so
good.
That's where I was going with this, right? Was that everybody makes mistakes. And sometimes instead yeah. of, and I didn't use the right one, but you know what? I demonstrate fairness to that dog by walking myself across the room because yeah. I said yes over in the laundry room or putting him in a crate or whatever it was. I said yes, and I'm like, ooh, that was the wrong word.
Yeah.
I meant
dang it.
Good. Dang it. So it doesn't take that much effort, though, to follow it with praise, a toy, freedom, or a food reward.
Yeah.
That breeds consistency. Mm-hmm. And that is where you make a really good progress with your dog because they're looking for those things. And if you think they're not, you are kidding yourself. Okay. So then the last one, right, is that dogs thrive. You talked about the rules. So dogs thrive when the rules for each marker are always the same. We're talking about this stuff like we're some sort of, you know, we're just immovable on these rules. It's really not that. There are hundreds of different ways that you can train your dog. You don't have to use markers at all. Our point is that by using markers, you will train your dog quicker and more efficiently.
Yeah.
That is the concept. People have trained their dogs way before anybody started using markers. People have trained dogs for thousands and thousands of years. You can just say sit. You cannot even do the things that like all dog trainers are like, okay, cool. We need to first pattern the command, pattern the behavior. Then we need to name it at the beginning of the behavior. Then we need to name it through the behavior. We need to name it right at the execution of the command or the behavior. Then we slowly increase the timing so that we're naming it slightly before the sit. Let me clarify because I'm sure that was confusing. Once again, this is what happens when you have a podcast that you do in one take and you don't do any outs. So I tell the dog to sit and the dog doesn't know how to sit. That does me no good. So in the dog training world, we pattern the sit by luring the dog with food. We lure the dog into position, and then as they sit, we mark it, and then we reward. We do that completely separately from the actual command of sit, S-I-T. Once the dog does that multiple times, then we start naming the command. We name the command at the moment that their butt hits the ground. We say, sit. And then we mark it and we reward it. And then slowly we increase the timing on that so that as the dog goes to sit and we're very, very sure that they're about to actually sit, we name it sit. And then we step it forward even more to where we're eventually saying sit and then getting the dog to do the whole movement into the sit.
Yeah.
But we're always marking and rewarding at the moment that the actual sit happens. So hopefully I didn't confuse anyone. All of that is to say that there are not hard, fast rules that like, if you don't do this, you will never train your dog. We are not saying that. There are hundreds of ways that you can train your dog very successfully by just saying the sit right off the bat, never even giving the dog an opportunity to learn the pattern. And then when they eventually do sit, just shove food in their mouth and they're like, okay, I guess that was good. They will learn the sit. But if we statistically, we take two dogs and we do it by the way that I just described versus I shove food in their face every time they sit, we will inevitably train that first dog faster and more efficiently. All right. What's the biggest mistake that you see owners make? So specifically with no is where we're going with this, but with markers, right? You already kind of alluded to the yes, like overusing right. yes and the markers, right? We just blast yes out there. Yes, 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 and it loses value. Well, I think that no is incredibly important, that if we really attach value to no, you don't have to do anything but say no. And your dog is like, what? Oh, I messed up. What did I do?
So, go ahead. Yeah. So I'm going to start with free because people think that there's like really no mistakes that you can make with free. But if you want your dog to come into an environment in a calm manner and you give them free out of the gate, that's a charged marker word, right? That's a rewardable marker word. Food is a stimulant. Don't expect your dog to like walk into a library if you just gave them free out of a kennel that they've been in for 2, 3, 4 hours. So that's the first one.
I like that analogy.
With no, it's kind of the same as yes with not sticking behind your yes with a treat. No is not sticking behind what you mean and making them do what you asked. So we always tell the clients when you pull out no, one, don't bring any emotion to it, because you do have some clients that out of frustration will start bringing emotions into it and the dog doesn't even know that you're upset really and is like, I don't know what you're upset about. The second one is just not backing it up again. Because at some point when we get into corrections and things like that with a dog that's like actually in a program, we always say it's no, correction, command. And we say that because we want to phase out that correction as quickly as possible. So we communicate with them the word first so that they're learning that. Then that predicts that a correction is coming next. And what you see is a dog go, oh, I'm not going to do that because I'm about to get a correction. And then you can phase out those corrections and you're no longer having to actually correct your dog. You're just verbally going, nope. And I snap my fingers usually when I do it. But you'll see, you know, puppies get up off place and step two paws off front and they'll look at you and it's like, nope. And they're like thinking about it. They're like, she's going to come over here in a minute. If I've come over there every time, I'm going to come over there this time.
Right. So that's like, accountability in action right
there. I'm going to go back onto the place.
Yep. All right. So do you like introduce all three markers at once or do you do it in stages?
So I always do the positive markers first. So we always introduce, we usually do free and then we do yes and then we do no. No kind of starts to blend in as you see understanding of the yes.
Why do you do free first?
Because it builds excitement in the dog for the exercise that you're doing. So if you're working on downs or place, the dog already is like, oh, all right, I got to go into a down. The faster that they get into that down, you give them that free and give them that reward, the less likely they are to be like, well, I don't want to do that because I had to sit there for, you know, 3, 4, 5 minutes. You just want the dog to get into the position, to learn the position and immediately reward them. So they're like, oh, well, I just got right back up. So that's totally fine. Mm-hmm. You see a dog that gets into the position faster and learns it quicker.
Nice. I think the other thing with that is that eventually, and it's not the first step, but eventually free or a terminal marker builds speed in the dog. It builds desire in the dog because what the dog sees is the faster that I do this, the faster that I perform this behavior, whatever it is, the faster he releases me and I get to go and do what I want.
Right. And you have to teach them the yes and free first because you can't just correct a dog that doesn't know the rules. So you can ask for a sit, but if they don't know how to sit and you haven't taught them what it all means verbally, leash pressure, food lure wise, you can't just correct a dog and expect them to know what it means still. They're not going to.
All right. So how do you keep owners from turning yes into like that constant chatter?
I mean, I think it goes a lot back to just owner education and explaining that the constant chatter is not good. I always tell people, use as many words as you want, as long as you don't mess with that one word. And most people don't have a hard time leaning too far against that, right? It's one word that you can't just ramble into it. Because it's just gonna, you're gonna see your dog like lose focus. So we use yes in the reactivity world a lot, where you'll have a dog staring at another dog in the distance and it's not reacting, and you mark and reward while the dog is looking at that other dog, but they're not reacting to it. So you say yes, that dog turns back to look at you and you reward. So at that point, you're teaching that dog to look at it without reacting and then disengage and look back at you. And that's when you're marking it.
Yeah.
So a lot of times people don't understand how that works, but you have to be able to just really focus it on the yes, if nothing else, to understand that that dog needs to know that it's constant.
Yeah, for sure. All right. So major point number three, marker words in daily life. Like, so marker words, it shouldn't, when we incorporate them into daily life, markers should not only live in training sessions. We talked about this last week. It's like, hey, I'm going to take the kids in the back and work with them for a few minutes. That sounds weird. But we hear that all the time. It's like, well, I tried to work with the dog in the backyard, but this happened or that happened. Well, what about just working with them throughout the day, right? Like, marker words don't just belong in training. They also belong in everyday routines, right? So using yes and free around thresholds, meals, greetings, all of those things, it increases the structure and it strengthens the dog's understanding of those marker words because you're using them throughout the day. So the more consistent the communication that you use, the faster you build respect and the faster you obtain that level of obedience that you're looking for. So dogs pick up leadership when humans communicate clearly outside of drills. Like an example, when my dogs go in and out of their crates, I use yes and free. A dog goes into their crate and maybe they go into the crate and I mark yes. And then I throw a little food reward in there. Mm-hmm. And then I close the door. It's a continuation marker. It means don't come out. It means good job. You did the right thing, but keep doing it.
Yeah.
Because I said kennel. Mm-hmm. And then when eventually I do open the door, they don't dash out because I haven't released them yet. Mm-hmm. So I open the door and then I sit there for a minute. And then I can reward with, or then I can release them with free and then toss them a little reward. Mm-hmm. Or what I do is the follow on to that is I use break, because break means the same as free. It's that release, but it's not treatable. Yeah. It's not a reward marker. So at the point where I say break, the dog knows, cool, I'm released. I can be a dog. I'm on my own program. And then they run out of the kennel.
Yeah.
And they're like, woo. And they're happy. They're excited, right? It is kind of a reward in and of itself, but it doesn't mm-hmm. predict. The dog never comes to me when I say break mm-hmm. and is like, where's my food?
Right.
Whereas if I said free, they're for sure coming to me and they're like, sweet, I got a treat. Yeah. Love that. Mm-hmm. But we need to have the ability to not lie to our dog. So I don't want to say free. And then the dog comes over there and I'm like, hey, you did so good, buddy. And they're like, well, that was a jip.
Yeah.
It was like, wow. And now the dog is rethinking their excitement for that word. So I want to avoid that, right? Even casual moments, right? Where you're just moving around your house, doing normal things. Rewarding calm in the house is huge and is a huge opportunity that a lot of times we miss. Use those markers. Use the markers and use the markers that don't mean you're going to get a treat, right? We use a lot of good.
Yeah.
A lot of good. I see good as a bridge word between yes and free. So maybe I reward them up front with yes, good job. Like, and I kind of put them together there, but yes. So you're on your place. I just gave you a little food reward. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Now I'm expecting you to stay there and I'm good, good, good boy. Good job. Good. That's all bridging.
Yep.
I can say good as many times as I want. It means good job. Keep doing it. Good job. Keep doing it. But it doesn't mean you're getting a treat.
Yeah.
And then I can release them mm-hmm. with free if I'm using a treat or break if I'm not.
Yep.
All right. So what's a simple daily routine that we can give clients here where you use markers outside of training sessions?
Definitely going to be meal times with food.
Nice. So that's one of the listener projects. So I love that. Go ahead.
And then is it also the listener project? Is it thresholds?
No. Okay, no, good. Not thresholds.
Okay.
So, I've got place on there, but thresholds okay. is a really good one too.
Yeah. Thresholds for sure.
So how do they use them?
So
just explain it briefly.
Meal times, you're going to ask for a sit or down or go in their kennel, any behavior place, mark it with yes. You can put that food down, right? And without your dog breaking it, you should be able to put that food bowl down, walk away from it a few steps. And once you're ready, you can then give a free. I keep like panicking as I'm saying them too, that I'm not spelling them. And I'm like, oh, there's a dog around hearing me.
Right. So usually when we're teaching, we try to spell a lot of those markers out so that we don't lessen, they don't hear them. And then like, we don't lessen the value of them.
Yeah. And then for thresholds, it's going to be pretty much, we use it for a lot for door dashers and things like that, where the dog just likes to bolt out the door.
What's a door dasher? Okay, cool.
Yeah. Bolts out the door. Yep. Super excited to go outside, always excited to run and leave from the front yard. So with that, we ask for a sit before we open the door. We always make sure that we can get the door all the way open and kind of start to get out the door before. But when the dog goes into a sit, we mark it with yes. That tells them to keep sitting. We can open the door, get out the door a little bit ourselves. And then usually we don't use a reward marker with thresholds.
Right.
If you have a treat, you can use free and treat them as they're coming out. But typically we just use break.
Yep.
To let them know that they can come through the door with us.
Love that. All right. And how do you show clients that structure with markers actually reduces the stress at home?
Ooh.
Because I feel like that, it kind of like puts it all together. The concept is like, cool, you can use markers and you can reduce your stress and increase your peace at home.
Yeah.
Okay, cool. Well, that's nice to know, but how do I do that? Like as a client.
Right, just incorporating them into your everyday lives. So when you build those in with any of the exercises, like anytime the dog is doing a behavior that you want, start building those into your day.
Right, charge them, right? And that's what dog trainers call charging the markers, is where we're like leaning into using those markers. We are establishing value with those markers. So yeah use them throughout the day. Mm-hmm. That's super, super important. If you're already asking, you're talking to your dog all throughout the day, you're asking him to do different things, whether it's get off the couch, get on the couch, get on the bed, get off the bed, go outside, get in your crate, lay down on place, sit down, right. Come with me, let's go. Whatever it is, mark it.
Yeah. I think it's super useful for people that have dogs that bark. If your dog's not barking and he's just relaxed and laying there, start marking that. We will do like the noise desensitizing with dogs inside, where it's like you play noises super, super quiet, and start marking when they're not barking back or responding to those noises. Also like the thresholds one, people all the time are stressed because their dogs run out the door ahead of them, or, you know, they live in apartments is a big one around here, and the dog goes out the door first and then it's like startled by all these dogs. Start asking for a sit before they go through that door. It doesn't take a long amount of time. Most dogs know how to sit. It's one they almost come preloaded with.
Right. Right? Sit is like the number one thing that everyone's like, oh, my dog, he knows how to sit.
Yeah, knows how to sit. Right? That's because they get tired of standing.
Right.
Every dog sits eventually. Mark it when they do.
Right. Yeah. I love that. All right. So let's do listener projects. I've got two projects for anybody listening, whether you're listening as a client or listening as a downloader of the podcast. Project number one, yes and free with place. So put your dog on a place bed. Say yes when the dog calmly stays on the place bed. And then reward with the food. So that's how we charge the yes marker. After two or three reps, usually I use a rule of threes. I never do more than three. Right. So I'll do yes about three times and then say free, release the dog off the bed, give them that treat, and then repeat that whole process several times in short sessions to build the dog's understanding. Listener project number two, meal routine with markers. So we talked about meal routine last week. Let's do it with markers. So ask your dog for a sit. Well, you've got the dog's food in the bowl, right? You're going to ask your dog to sit. You're going to slowly lower the bowl. Go ahead and take a couple of pieces or a little handful, a bit of food out of the bowl, right? So you've got it. And then when your dog holds the sit, mark it with yes, and then feed them that little bit that you've got in your hand. That's the continuation part. As the dog continues to sit there, continue lowering the bowl to the ground. Once it's on the ground and the dog is calm, go ahead and release the dog with free. And you don't have to give the dog anything because when you reward with free and the dog is then going to eat, that is the reward. So it's a real good opportunity for you to charge the marker, as we've said like three or four times now, with free, and you don't even have to do any extra work. You're setting the bowl down, and I still to this day do that with all my dogs as I put them in kennels. All of my dogs eat in kennels, and they go in the kennel. I bring the food bowl out. I ask them for a sit or a down. I place the food bowl down. I don't even mark that interim anymore because they know the process, but I give them free at the point where they can go ahead and eat. And then the food is their reward. Mm-hmm. Real easy. If the dog breaks early, just calmly reset them. You don't have to scold them. You could just say, nope, and then raise the food bowl back up and then start all over. Super easy, super simple to charge those. All right. So that is all of the information that we had to cover tonight. At this point, we'll open it up. If we've got any questions from any clients that are dialed in live, go ahead and unmute and throw those questions out now. Give them just a minute if they're working with their mics. And sometimes we don't have questions, and that's fine too. We need to figure out how to get the Jeopardy music on here. Da-da. Right.
I could just do it for you.
You're going to do it? Go ahead. You start singing for me. I love that. All right. If we don't have any questions, we're going to start wrapping it up. So for tonight, we talked about marker words and how important those markers were. I think that it is extremely, extremely useful to efficiently training your dog. It builds clear communication and it builds a lot of foundational leadership in the home. So, thank you for tuning in tonight to episode 2 of Paw Print Academy. I'm your host, Ryan, and we were here with Brianna tonight. We are in the process of collecting guests and other people to be involved. But for tonight, we're going to close it out. All right.
Good night.
Good night. Thank you very much. Have a great night.